Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together, just talk about important issues, and offer some biblical perspective through life circumstances. I'm Neil Stavem, Ted Ross at the controls. And Ted, we're in the midst of a little bit of winter. It has apparently come. So
not going to get over 25 the rest of the week for a high temp, I hear.
Okay.
I like to ease into the winter, not get slapped in the face.
Kind of maybe a little more fresh than you really needed. But it does remind us that Operation Christmas Child's underway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I know many all around our Faith Radio network are involved in that, have been for years. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've not filled up your shoebox yet, that you can do that. And we've got some information online about drop-off locations and all those things and what you can put in and really make a difference for in the life of a child. And really, it's amazing just how those boxes are used in countries around the globe to introduce Jesus. So we're excited to just be letting you know about that.
Yeah, great activity you can do with kids especially, and just help them have a hands-on experience of making a difference in the world.
Yeah, you can write a note along with it, and it's great. So, well, speaking of kids, we like to talk fairly, I don't know, maybe at least once a month or more here on Connecting Faith, just talking about some parenting issues. But today's parenting discussion is sort of on the other end of the spectrum. So we're going to talk about a great book called When Your Parent Becomes Your Child. This is a journey of faith through my mother's dementia. That's the subtitle of the book, written by New York Times bestselling author Ken Abraham. And we've talked with Ken before about this book. He's written dozens, and, you know, we probably should have him back maybe once a month just to kind of work through that, all the books he's written. In fact, just was it last Friday or the Friday before, Joe Rathmanner was talking with Jimmy Wayne, which, Ken, I think is what your latest book. You co-wrote that with him, right? So.
Hey, you betcha, Neil. It's a great story. Jimmy's book is one of the strongest books I've had a chance to work on in quite a long time. It's a powerful story.
We had him on. You can, in fact, if you missed the interview, you want to go to myfaithradio.com. You can click on the Connecting Faith show page. We've kind of adjusted our little show page a little bit as well. So check that out and listen to that. But Ken, welcome back. By the way, it's good to talk with you again.
Neil, it is great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
So the book, I mean, you've been a professional musician, pastored for a while. You've been writing for years. And this one is a personal story. When Your Parent Becomes Your Child is the Journey of Faith Through My Mother's Dementia. I'm interested to know, having written so many books, if this was a personal account different than, say, writing a biography of some notable person.
It really was, Neil. I'll tell you, I've had an opportunity to work with some great stories over the years, some sad stories, too. Lisa Beamer's story, Let's Roll, after 9/11, of course. Payne Stewart, who died in a plane crash. I worked with his wife on her book. Wrote with Bill Gaither, Joe Gibbs, Chuck Norris. I've had an opportunity to write with some incredible people and tell some great stories, some world changers. But for a long time, I had not written a book under my own name and telling some of my own story. And then we experienced this thing with my mom, moving into dementia. And I think in some ways it was probably the easiest book I've ever written, but in some other ways it was the most difficult. It was easy because I was just basically writing of our own experience. I kind of took a cue from Tuesdays with Maury. You remember that book?
Yeah.
And I said, he's chronicling this disease as they go through these experiences. I wanted to do something like that with my mom. Because I tell you what happened, whenever my mom was first diagnosed with dementia, the first thing I did, of course, I'm an author, the first thing I did, I went out and started looking for some books about dementia and Alzheimer's disease and all that sort of thing. And I couldn't find that much, especially written from a Christian perspective that brought in the faith elements. I found one book, and man, if you ever want to get depressed, if you ever want to contemplate suicide, that was the book to get, because it told you about all of these horrible things that were going to happen to your mom or your dad. I said, man, who wants to read that? And so I started writing this book, and it really, in some ways, it was the easiest book, but in some other ways, it was the most wrenching book that I've ever done, because I was writing the experiences as we were going through them with my mom, and I didn't have a lot of answers at that point, and sometimes you never do, but it was real, and the book has been helpful to a lot of folks, so thanks for mentioning. I sure appreciate it.
It's been out for a couple of years now, and I mean, it seems like probably even in the last couple of years, there's been a lot more awareness and certainly discussion about. In fact, I noted that November is National Family Caregivers Month, and so we're becoming much more aware of certainly dementia and Alzheimer's, and I'm sure as you did some research, you discovered that they're not necessarily the same diagnosis.
No, they're really not, and they're a little bit different. I mean, Alzheimer's is more of a straight line downhill. Dementia was more of a step down kind of deal, we discovered. And my mom had vascular dementia, and there are all kinds of dementias. Dementia is sort of a catch-all term, if you want to look at it that way. As a matter of fact, I just heard on the news last night about they're saying now that Robin Williams may have had some sort of dementia that led to his suicide. There are all kinds of dementias, but my mom's was a step-down vascular dementia where she'd go along and she'd be just fine for a while. And we thought, well, wow, she's getting better. And then something would happen, either some kind of crisis, an incident would happen where she would get emotionally all charged up, or maybe she would slip and fall or something like that. But whatever it was, it would be like a step down a ladder and she would never come back up. And that is one of the hardest parts of Alzheimer's disease and dementias in general, is you don't come back. And for caregivers, that is really tough. And if I could take it one step further, for Christian caregivers and guys like me that believe that God can heal a body and can heal a mind and renew a spirit, boy, it is really tough, because you say, wait a minute, What's going on here? Can't God change the situation? And the truth is, the physical elements were just on an irrevocable course with my mom, and it took me a while to deal with that. And I lived in denial for quite a while about it.
We'll talk more about that in just a moment. It did remind me, though, as you talked about sort of, you know, maybe a crisis happens or something. Is that often the case? There's a trigger event that maybe sort of drops down to the next level?
Yes, especially with dementia, with vascular dementia, and some of the others. Now, Alzheimer's is more of a straight line. Both of those diseases, or if you want, both of those categories, if you want to say it that way, you're heading in the same direction, unfortunately. But Alzheimer's is more of a straight line, and sometimes people go down that road faster. Where dementia is more, okay, we'll go along on an even keel for a while, and then something will happen, and you drop, and then you go along for an even keel for a while, and then something else happens, and you drop down a little bit further. The sad news, I hate to say, is you never go back up those ladders. But it's just a matter of, okay, maybe we can deal with this a little bit easier, just knowing that this is what we're dealing with.
Well, let's talk a bit about, you know, some of the signs you missed, because you and your, you know, your family, right, your brothers, kind of thought, well, yeah, I mean, and the reality is that we all get older and we get forgetful and things, so it's pretty easy to overlook some things, isn't it?
That's right. I'm getting older myself, you know, and my kids are probably looking at me the same way. But, yeah, we really did. We missed it. I was clueless, Neil. I have to tell you, and I hate to even admit this, but I didn't even know what dementia was. I thought it was some weird thing. I thought, you know, years ago it used to even be associated with syphilis and all that sort of thing. I didn't know what dementia was, and Alzheimer's disease, that happened to somebody else. So when my mom's memory started to slip, and she wasn't able to remember names or people, or whenever she'd start using language that my mom would never use. My mom was a Christian woman. She played piano in our church. I mean, she loved Jesus all of her life, and suddenly there were these words coming out of her mouth, saying, "Whoa, what is that all about?" It just wasn't my mom. And for a while we thought, you know, she's just being mean and cantankerous. No, at all. It wasn't that at all. Something was happening in her brain, and we didn't know it. We just missed it. That whole thing about hoarding food. She'd go to the grocery store, and she'd want to bring home about 10 of each of these things. And we'd say, Mom, why do you need 3 or 4 bags of potatoes? And she said, well, I might need those. So she'd have 40 or 50 potatoes hanging around the house there for ages, start getting smelly enough to throw them all away. But she wanted to hoard all these different things. And just those kind of things, we just thought, well, she's just getting old. And Mom's always been kind of a quirky person anyhow, so she's just getting older, and we just have to write it off. It wasn't that, Neil. Yeah, she was getting old, but something was happening in her brain where her brain wasn't functioning the way it used to, and that was where the dementia was setting in.
You know, when you talk about those issues, whether it's coarse language or maybe this sort of obsession with things or stealing, maybe negative attitudes even, I mean, you know, I think we want to know, I mean, maybe our first thought is to sort of counteract that, to become, you know, maybe argumentative about that, right? We sort of push back.
You are absolutely right. Absolutely. We try to correct my mom. Well, that just wasn't going to work, first of all, for a number of reasons. With the kids trying to correct them, the parent, that usually doesn't work anyhow. But especially when your mom is suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia, you know, trying to correct her just got her more fired up. And trying to argue with somebody with dementia is an exercise in futility. It just doesn't work. The only thing you can do that is effective, quite frankly, is to change the subject. Now, the good news of that is you change the subject, and a few minutes later, the person with dementia probably won't remember that you were even in that argument. But, at the same time, trying to just keep going on and correcting. I try that. I would try to correct my mom and to explain things to her. One of the first stories I told in the book was a time when she was here at our home, and she was seeing these guys in white suits out in our front yard. Now, Neil, if you come to visit me, and you're welcome to do that anytime, if you come to visit me, you've got to come up 30 steps to our first floor of our house. My mom was staying on the second floor, so it was probably about 40 feet off the ground. And she was seeing guys in white suits out her window. Mm. And I'm saying, Mom, there's nobody out there. There's nobody there. But I couldn't convince her. I even took her down to the mailbox and tried to show her there's nobody there. But she was convinced that somebody was there. She was afraid. A lot of folks with Alzheimer's and with dementia, they start having these totally unfounded fears, and you try to correct them, you try to rebuke them sometimes, and it just doesn't work. The only thing you can do effectively is to change the subject.
We're going to talk more about maybe how to redirect and how do we honor our parents, our mothers and fathers. The scriptures talk about that. How do we do that in the midst of diagnoses like dementia? We're going to talk more with Ken Abraham in just a moment. By the way, we've got some copies that we'll give away of Ken's book as well. It's a great story and one that maybe you're living right now. And if that's the case, we'd sure love to hear from you today. This is November is National Family Caregivers Month, and maybe you'd like to just share a bit about your story or ask Ken a question or two. You're welcome to join in the conversation by calling 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And again, we've got some copies of the book, When Your Parent Becomes Your Child. And it's a great read from Ken Abraham. The subtitle is The Journey of Faith Through My Mother's Dementia. And we'll get to that faith aspect as well. Ken Abraham is a New York Times bestselling author, known around the world for his collaborations with high-profile public figures, and former professional musician and former senior pastor. And we're honored to have him with us today on Connecting Faith. And we'll talk more in just a minute. Stay tuned. Ken Abraham's book, When Your Parent Becomes Your Child, the question is posed this way. How is it possible to lose a loved one while he or she is still living, still sitting right in front of you, talking with you, smiling at you, and yet the person you have known and loved for years is somehow gone? And we know God is faithful, and we had wonderful relationships with our parents, perhaps, and then it comes to some point where it's just not the same. We're talking about it today. When your parent becomes your child, Ken Abraham, a best-selling author, written 40-plus books, and this is one where he tells the story of his mother's slow decline through dementia and some of the faith aspects of it. And, Ken, we were talking just a little bit before the break. By the way, we've got some copies to give away. If you'd like to join in the conversation as well, it's 877-93-FAITH. We're talking a little bit about redirecting conversations. I'm wondering, did that work for you? Was that an effective strategy? I mean, obviously, this is, you're kind of learning along the way, right? I guess all of us are. We go through this. We're trial by error, I guess.
Oh, that's exactly right. And you have to kind of redirect and try to redirect in a positive way, we found. My mom used to love to watch some of the game shows on TV, and she loved Vanna White and the whole thing, you know. And I remember one time when I was with her, and Vanna White came on TV and, you know, changing the letters and all the things she does. And we said something about the program, and my mom said, "Yeah, that Vanna White." And I could tell that it was a negative attitude coming through her. And so I said, "Yeah, Mom, isn't that Vanna White? Isn't she great? Isn't she wonderful?" And immediately my mom just picked right up on it. "Oh, she's wonderful. She's, look how pretty she is." You know, you just have to redirect. The other thing you have to do, Neil, is keep a sense of humor. I mean, you just have to laugh going through some of these things, because otherwise you're going to cry all the time. And who wants to do that? But redirecting really worked for us. It sounds so simple when a person with dementia or Alzheimer's starts going off on a tirade, or they're mad about this, or you stole something from me, or that person looked at me the wrong way. You know, just change the subject. "Wow, isn't it a gorgeous day out today? You know what? Let's go get a piece of cake. Let's have," because people with Alzheimer's and dementia, they love sweet things, which plays real well for me. I love ice cream. And so we would do that all the time. "Hey, Mom, let's go get some ice cream." My mom used to work in Baltimore during the World War II years, and she would get off telling our kids about all the horrendous things that she did as a young woman in Baltimore before she became a Christian. And so every time she'd get into one of those stories, I'd say, "Hey, let's go get some ice cream." And it worked, believe it or not. It worked. Yeah. Suddenly she forgot about all those promiscuous days in Baltimore, and she started thinking about ice cream. It sounds silly, but if you're dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia, let me really encourage you to try it. You may discover a secret that will save your own sanity.
Sure. You know, you mentioned that your mom was a Christ follower. In fact, she, you know, was playing keyboard in the church. And in fact, when you and your brothers were singing for a while, she'd travel with you, right? So I mean, she had a vibrant faith, right?
She really did. She did. She taught us the ways of the Lord as little kids. My dad was not a Christian for many, many years. He owned the bar in our town, and I mean, it wasn't a fancy bar. It was a coal miner's factory workers kind of bar. It wasn't a fancy lounge. It was a bar where the guys were coming in, going out to the mines. He'd have their drinks on the counter every morning. My mom was playing piano in the church, and she would pray for my dad every day of his life for him to come to know the Lord Jesus. And eventually he did. But boy, for a long time, it was a battleground. But she had an incredible faith. And you know what? That never left her, even in her final days. You know what else didn't leave? Two things, I think, that were significant. We found, Neil. One was the scripture. And I would teach a Sunday school class here in Nashville at our church. And so on Saturday night, I'd always stop in to see my mom. And, of course, I'd read the scripture to her about what I was going to teach about the next morning. And, man, she would just brighten up, and suddenly the words of the scripture would come alive to her, and she could quote the Bible. The other thing was music, and especially the old hymns. I'm telling you, she could not tell you what day it was. She couldn't tell you what she'd had for breakfast. But if I would start singing "Victory in Jesus," or "I Love to Tell the Story," or "Blessed Assurance," she would jump right in there. She could play it on the piano. She'd start singing the harp, all without any music. It never left her. They say that music is one of the last things to go, and especially those strong emotional songs that we sing in the church. Those things are there for even the last days of my mom. They were there even to the day she died.
Which maybe is just a good reminder, I guess, if you have opportunity to provide some music for your parent, if they're in that situation, just to getting some of those old hymns maybe, or some things that they would be familiar with, that could be pretty particularly meaningful, right?
Yes, indeed. We would do that. My wife and I, Lisa and I, would do that every night because for quite a while, my mom was in an independent living situation where she still had some flexibility. She could come and go as she wanted. She had meals together with the folks who were living in the independent facility. She had her own apartment, and so we'd pray with her every night before we would go. And of course, she'd always want to pray, and man, she'd want to pray for every missionary that we knew, and you know, the country and the president and everything. And I'm not quite sure if she was that spiritual or she just didn't want us to leave. I'm not sure what it was, but she would pray, and so you know, we would put on some music before we would leave. We discovered, though, as the dementia got worse, because we bought her a little stereo system and everything, we discovered as the dementia got worse that she couldn't remember how to punch the buttons. She couldn't remember how to get the CD into the player. And I would come over and I'd say, Mom, why aren't you listening to your music? Oh, that thing doesn't work. Okay. Well, it did work. She just couldn't remember how to make it function.
Yeah. You talked about, you know, there was that point where she was no longer at independent living. That's probably one of the big challenges, right, you and your family face. All right, at what point do we move our parent away from their home?
Boy, I'll tell you what, Neil, that is one of the toughest. You're absolutely right. There were a couple of moves in our experience. First of all, when we moved my mom, she was living with near my brothers in Orlando. We moved her from there to Nashville, closer to me, and she still had independence. She was able to come and go. We took away her car keys. Ooh, that's a tough one. When you take away the car keys from a senior adult, you're taking away their freedom. But we had to, because she could no longer drive safely. And, you know, the whole idea of driving seems so simple to us, but it requires an awful lot of high-end eye-hand coordination and that sort of thing. Well, her brain would not allow her to do that anymore. So that was one of the toughest right there. That was bad enough. And then we moved her from her little apartment in Orlando to Nashville. The toughest part of the moves for us was moving her out of her own independent living place into what we would call a nursing home. They have all sorts of fancy names for them nowadays, but it's basically a nursing home. And I remember taking her in there, and oh boy, you know, first of all, that's a challenge even finding the right place, because the good places are so expensive, and the places where you don't really want your mom or dad to be are really, really yucky sometimes. You know, you walk in and the smell hits you and you say, oh, no, I'm not going to bring my parent here. I'm not going to bring my loved one here. So it was a tough call. We were fortunate. We found a great place that was clean. The folks were Christian. They loved on the senior adults who were there, but it was still tough, and I will never forget how rotten I felt the day I dropped my mom off at the nursing home and drove away. She thought she was going home with me, and I felt like the slime bucket of the world, because I was taking my mom to this nursing home. But I had to. We couldn't care for her at home anymore. It's a weird deal, Neil, this whole thing. And the reason I wrote the book, When Your Parent Becomes Your Child, that whole role reversal thing was so hard for us. I mean, the woman who used to put diapers on me, now I was putting diapers on her. Man, you know, I mean, first of all, it was embarrassing for her, and it was even more embarrassing for me. But the whole deal of that thing was, you know, we just can't do this on our own. We tried. My wife and I tried to keep her here at our house, and we tried to take care of her as long as we could in our own environment. But eventually we really needed help. And you know what? Let me encourage caregivers. Don't feel bad about that, because you're doing the very best thing you can for your loved one. When they need help, move your own ego out of the way and say, okay, I'm doing the best thing for mom. I'm doing the best thing for dad by putting them into this environment where somebody's watching out for them 24 hours a day.
Because it's always, and we have to take a little break here coming up in a minute, but I mean, we probably wait too long in some of those situations, don't we? We want to try and do more than we're maybe capable of, right?
We did. We sure did, because, you know, like I say, my mom had vascular dementia. It was a step down. Some days she would seem to be pretty good and say, well, hey, she can stay on her own. She's fine. And then other days, oh, my. If she'd go outside, she'd get lost. Even in church, we'd take her to church with us, and she'd go to the bathroom, and then, you know, she'd get lost, even just going to the restroom in our church. and then she'd come waddling in and right in the middle of the pastor's sermon, which he always enjoyed, of course. And, you know, and people say, well, what are Abraham's doing? Why don't they take better care of their, sure, their grandma, you know, that sure, whole thing. So, yeah, you got to do it soon.
All right. We're going to talk more with Ken Abraham as he shares a personal story, a journey of faith through his mother's dementia. The book is called When Your Parent Becomes Your Child. And Ken Abraham is a best-selling author, our guest today. You can join us. We've got some copies of the book to give away. If you have a question or comment, call us at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. More in a moment.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory.
Now we're just remembering some of those good old hymns, talking things that are. Parents remember, perhaps, from the early days, and even when they forget just about everything else. We're talking about When Your Parent Becomes Your Child. That's the title of the book from best-selling author Ken Abraham, joining with us today. And Ken's written some 40-plus books, 40 last I talked, but it's probably 50 by now, I'm not sure. Anyway, we're glad to have him on with us and just telling his story. And I want to go to Paul, who called in from Chaplin this afternoon. Has some questions about options. Paul, you're on with Ken Abraham. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Ken.
Hi, Paul.
I guess I would ask, I'm kind of just getting involved in all this with my mom. She went into assisted living in August, and her, dementia has been becoming more and more obvious, and now it's kind of really gone downhill and increased. And kind of in a nutshell, my mom, about 7 years ago, I think, had a bout with something called diverticulitis.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with nutrition, and then you can get sick, like symptoms like the flu.
Sure.
Well, she either got that or the flu again, and it was really bad, and she was on an IV, went into the hospital for a while, then came out and then was in the nursing home, and now she's gone back to her assisted living, and we're trying to stretch the dollar here, and we wanted to get someone to come in to kind of help take care of her. And so one of the questions would be, what can we do, or what would be the best things for her? I know the nutrition thing is not there. She doesn't seem to want to eat protein and vegetables. It's the sweets like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Her diet's really poor, which contributes both, from what I've heard, to both her dementia, and then I know it adds to the diverticulitis situation could reoccur.
Paul, you're absolutely right, Paul.
Go ahead, Ken. What some thoughts about? Is there in-home care? I mean, I know you're not. That's not really your area of expertise necessarily, but what did you experience?
Well, we did try that, and of course, I really do think that somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia functions the very best in a familiar environment, and that is great if you are able to do it. We tried as long as we could, and then we found that we couldn't, and we felt guilty for that, Paul. And truthfully, you can't feel guilty if you have to move mom or dad to another type of facility. But there are a couple of things that I think you have to watch for. Number one, first of all, is medicine, and if they're not taking their medicine, that sort of thing, you have to be able to do that. If you have a loved one like this living at home with Alzheimer's or dementia, boy, you need help. You can't do it by yourself. If you have brothers or sisters or other folks around you that can jump in and help with you, that's great. We didn't have anybody close to us like that. My family members were in Florida. We were in Nashville. So we had to do it ourselves. And it did become draining. And you just get to the place where you say, okay, am I really doing my loved one any good by keeping him or her at home? And at that point, you have to consider the option of taking your loved one somewhere else. You hit the key, though. Boy, it is expensive. And there are programs that will help. There are government programs that will help, Medicare and some of those kind of things. But, boy, it is a full-time job trying to get that assistance, and it is something you'll not enjoy doing. But it is there. The other thing I would say, really take advantage of the Alzheimer's Association. Those guys have some great resources. They've got tips that will help you in the midst of what you're doing. More than that, they have resources for people that will help you. Maybe they can tell you about different prices of things. Most of the things that the Alzheimer's Association offers themselves are free. They've got all kinds of free programs that I wish we would have known about. We didn't know about them, Paul. The biggest thing I would say, though, in that choice, though, between having your mom in a facility, whether it's assisted living or a full-time nursing home, long care facility, whatever, is you've got to decide how that's affecting the other members of your own family. If it's a negative on you and your family, listen, you're not doing mom or dad any good, to be honest about it. You've got to protect your own family too, because they are on an irrevocable course. And I hate to say that, because I believe that God can heal a person, but they are on an irrevocable course unless God heals them. Otherwise, they're going to be continuing to get worse and worse. So you've got to make those calls when they come. Do we need to move mom or dad into another type of facility? God bless you, Paul. It is a tough deal. Hey, listen, 15 million people are right where you are today, caring for a mom or a dad that they don't know how to deal with as far as the Alzheimer's or dementia. So you're not alone, and there are a lot of support groups and resources that will really help you. Take advantage of that Alzheimer's Association website.
Did your relationship with your siblings change as your mother declined? And any advice for families in terms of sort of rallying around caring for the parent?
It did change at first, tell you the truth, Neil. First of all, I thought my brothers and their wives were being mean to my mom because I would talk to them and they would tell me all these horrible things that my mom had done. I'm living in Nashville. My mom was living in Florida, in Orlando area, with my brothers and their wives and families. And they're telling me all these horrible stories. Like, nah, she is not doing that. She didn't mean that. She might have said that, but she didn't mean that. You know better than that. And then we moved her to Nashville, and I was seeing my mom on a daily basis, and I was experiencing some of those quirks and peccadilloes and all those other deals. You say, whoa, what in the world's going on here? So, yeah, it did change. And I had to remember that the person that was saying those things and doing those things in some ways was still my mom, but in a lot of ways, hey, I live in Nashville. Elvis had left the building. And in a lot of ways, my mom, the person I had grown up with and had known for all those years, was not there anymore. And when she would say those nasty things, it wasn't my godly mom saying those things. It was the dementia, the disease speaking through her. I really needed to keep that in mind.
Were there times when you felt that maybe you weren't honoring your mother or your father as the scripture commands?
Yeah. There's a story I tell in the book at the beginning of when your parent becomes your child about she used to call 911 all the time. My mom, and she'd get scared, and she was thinking that somebody was trying to break into the house or steal from her, and so she'd call 911 even when she was visiting here before she moved to Nashville. And one night we came home and the police were literally in our driveway, and my mom had called 911, I said, Mom, you cannot do these things. Don't you ever call 911 again unless the house is on fire, and you get exasperated. You get mad sometimes because they're not going to change. They're doing the things that they and it really is whatever feels good kind of mentality. That's what they do when they have Alzheimer's or dementia. There's a story I told in the book about it wasn't my mom, but it was somebody that was staying in the same facility where she was, where two elderly people with dementia, they found them one day in one of their rooms half naked and enjoying some things that they hadn't quite forgotten about. So you can't judge them with the same morality that we have, from a godly perspective or anything else, because the filters are gone. And so we really had to adjust our expectations. We had to adjust how we responded to things. We had to keep laughing. But you know what, Neil? At the same time, we found a couple of things that were really important. One was to lay a hand on my mom. Just the physical touch helped her. The other thing is when you look at somebody with dementia or Alzheimer's, move in close but not too close. Let them see your eyes because there's that fear factor there. Get in close but not too close until they see who you are and it's kind of processed in their mind. Sometimes it doesn't process real well, but get in close. Physical touch is really, really important. We found that real helpful with my mom. Mm.
Let's take another call. She'd like to remain anonymous, but has a question about kind of just as we're talking about, so those mood swings. So go ahead. You're on with Ken Abraham.
Yes. Thank you for this information. My husband's in, I know we're not talking about a parent right now, but my husband's kind of into this, and it's so hard on me because I'm so upbeat, and I've always been an optimist, and he just says such hurtful things, and then he'll come around and then he'll just be sweeter than apple pie and act like he didn't
yep.
say any of those things. And it's really, really hard because, and then they smother you so much, like you can't get away from mm-hmm. them hardly. They just want to go wherever you're going and follow you from room to room. And
yeah,
you're so right.
It's just tough.
Yeah.
The mood swings are definitely something to deal with. That's for sure. The one thing we found, like I say, was changing the subject, moving the situation around. The other thing was going back to things that my mom could remember. The thing about Alzheimer's and dementia is most of that takes effect in the short-term memory. So if I could bring up things that my mom remembered from years ago, I mean, she could tell you all about World War II. She could tell you all about John F. Kennedy being assassinated. She could tell you about good things that happened in her life as well. Back then, she could not tell you what happened today, and she wouldn't remember so many times even what happened a few hours ago. So, you know, to pull up those pleasant memories, the memories that would stick with her are the ones that had deep emotion, whether it was love, and I hate to say this, but or anger or hatred would stick with her too. Fortunately, God can do a number on that I couldn't. But the other aspect you mentioned there is that smothering deal, and yes, you're right. A person with dementia, the fear many times is there. Sometimes they don't want to get away. They don't want you out of their sight. The other part of that is sometimes they don't want you near. And boy, those kind of things are just very, very difficult to deal with. But keep a sense of humor. Celebrate everything you can. We celebrated birthdays with my mom all the time. We celebrated Christmas with her. We brought her to our home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, she didn't even understand it all. I remember one time we were having a Christmas celebration, and after she'd opened up all of her presents, she said, "This is so wonderful. We don't do this for anybody else's birthday." She thought it was her birthday, and actually we were celebrating Jesus's birthday. So you just celebrate everything you can.
Sure. Ken Abraham with us today. Ken's best-selling author and a 14-time New York Times best-selling author, known around the world for his collaborations with high-profile public figures, written dozens of books. And this one that we're referencing today is one that is a personal story of his journey. It's a journey of faith through his mother's dementia. The book is called When Your Parent Becomes Your Child. I got some copies to give away, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment with Ken. I want to talk a little bit about, we mentioned just briefly kind of medications and food. We'll talk a little bit about monitoring that. Maybe just how do we work with doctors and medical professionals in this circumstance. And I also want to get some thoughts from Ken about, maybe if he's done anything different, as his children, his mother's grandchildren have seen what they've gone through. If that's changed things for him. We'll get to that and more. And your calls at 877-933-2484.
In a Bible cracked and faded by the year. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer.
We're talking about caring for family members that have a diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's. That affects over 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's. And some 15 million people are caring for their parents in some form or another. November's National Family Caregivers Month, and we're honored to have with us Ken Abraham, who has written a poignant story about his mother's journey through dementia. The book is called When Your Parent Becomes Your Child, and Ken's best-selling author and just sharing out of his experience. Anyway, I'm just, Ken, as you got more involved in this as your mother, digressed, I guess you could say. You ended up with maybe more doctors and medical professionals. They're not always in a good position in knowing what to advise. And how did those relationships go? I mean, they maybe aren't always the most warm and friendly sometimes, right?
That's the truth, and I didn't really realize that, Neil, but to tell you the truth, when we first took my mom to the doctor, we would take her to different physicians. Actually, when she first moved in near us, she had so many pills that doctors had recommended to her over the years, and they were still all on her record. And the first thing we had to do was clear off some of that medication that she was taking. The second thing we found was really, really important was finding a geriatric doctor. A geriatric doctor is a little different than your average internist or your local physician. You've always taken your kids to whenever they get the flu, that sort of thing. The geriatric doctor doesn't look at trying to cure my mom or your loved one. the idea was, okay, how are we going to deal with this dementia and Alzheimer's and make her the most comfortable and give her the best quality of life that she can possibly have during these years? The truth is, most people with dementia don't live much longer than 5 years. 15 years is a real stretch. They know where this thing is going, and they're pretty good at predicting it. I hate to say it, but they are. So finding a geriatric doctor was a major change for us. It was really, really helpful. The second thing you implied there, I think, is real important, too. Boy, no matter what doctor you're dealing with, you've got to keep an eye on those medications. As I mentioned, my mom was taking all sorts of things that she didn't need. She took one pill to make her go to the bathroom, another pill to keep her from going to the bathroom. It was crazy when we first discovered all these things she was taking. But even in the hospital, we found that the hospitals didn't even sometimes have her records or whatever, and they would give her all sorts of medications, sometimes just to put her to sleep. And, you know, had we not watched that very carefully, we discovered early on that certain medications would really cause the dementia to kick in. And she would be seeing things. She'd see the doorknobs moving. She'd see people that weren't there. All sorts of things would kick in the dementia even worse. And the hospital was giving her that medication. And I'd say, wait a minute. You know, don't you guys know you can't be giving her that? But they didn't. Mm-hmm. And so we found that you have to monitor those medications. When my mom first started going down the road of dementia, she used to have her own medications in her own cupboard, and we didn't know any better, so we were allowing her to self-medicate. Oh man, you want a recipe for disaster? Right there it is. Sometimes she was on Coumadin, which thins your blood. Sometimes she would take too much. Sometimes she wouldn't take enough. We found very quickly we had to decide when she was going to take her medicine and what medicine it was that she was going to be taking. That's a real important point.
Yeah. And as we talked about food as well, make kind of monitor that the food intake too. So.
Oh man, I'll say, yeah. Even when my mom was living at the independent living place, food became an issue because she wanted to grab everything because they had all the food out. They would have their meals together, and then afterwards they would have apples and bananas and snacks and desserts and things like that. Well, she'd bring home an armful and put them in a refrigerator, and I'd find, you know, a week or two later that her refrigerator was just stacked full of things. She wasn't going to eat that stuff, but she was hoarding it and she was hanging on to it. Now sometimes she would, and she would overdo it on some of those sweet things, that's for sure, and that would cause her to become even more erratic. So you really do have to keep an eye on foods, and a healthy diet is good for all of us, but especially for somebody that's dealing with dementia.
Sure. You know, Ken, I was thinking, you know, at some point the conversations become sort of, you know, kind of random and meaningless. So were there any strategies that you had for, I mean, if there was a matter of substance that you really needed to talk to your mom about, how did you handle that?
It's probably one of the most difficult aspects of this whole ordeal, Neil, and that's something that happens as you go along progressively. And I found that even sitting with my mom at the nursing home, I needed to get some information from her, what they were doing, how they were treating her, those kind of things. I couldn't get it from her. I had to go around her sometimes to other people who were a little bit more cognizant of what was going on. She had a couple of friends in the nursing home that were kind of watching out for her, who were still able to think pretty clearly. But even then, you had to be careful because sometimes they would give you misinformation as well. So I found that I couldn't always rely on what she was saying, and she would say things about other people that had hurt her. She was complaining about some guy that was sneaking into her room at night. I knew that wasn't happening, but I would listen to those stories, and I would go to somebody. I'd go to the nurses. I'd go to other people there at the facility and say, okay, you know, tell me about this. Tell me about that. One time, my mom got really upset because her roommate, they did have roommates in the situation where she was. She got upset, and the nurse said to me, we have a real crisis. I said, what's wrong? She said, well, your mom is mad at Nellie because she's not paying her rent. And I said, what are we going to do? She says, it's okay. She said, I gave your mom an IOU from Nellie, and now everybody's fine. So you just kind of roll with it, you know.
Sure. would you have done things differently looking back? She's passed away now a few years ago, right?
Definitely, I think we would have had we known, and we've you know, some folks have said you guys are beating yourself up too much because you didn't know. Well, we didn't. We honestly didn't. But had we known, had we seen some of those signs, those overreactions of ours, those emotional outbursts, those uncharacteristic cussing and swearing, things like that, you know, the failure to get to the bathroom all the time, had we seen those as signs that something was wrong in my mom's brain rather than just, you know, she's just getting old, maybe we could have done. There is medication. There are some things that doctors can do and help to slow down the process and makes it a whole lot more livable for the caregiver. So we didn't take advantage of any of those things. The other thing, and I recommend this, again, I have no association with this group, but I recommend that folks go to the Alzheimer's Association website, check it out. We didn't have a clue how many free resources were available to us that would have helped, really helped in every aspect of what we were dealing with. I would recommend it highly.
So talk about your kids, grandma's grandkids. What did they think, and maybe what have they encouraged you, or maybe are there things that you are doing differently, you know, as a result of having this experience?
Well, you know, it's that old Mark Lowry joke, you know, be nice to your kids because they're going to choose which nursing home you live in, right? I said, no. We'll make those decisions ahead of time. And I really, it's hard. It's a hard subject to talk about, but you've got to talk honestly with about what's going to happen when mom or dad get to that stage, or if we get to that stage. And so we plan out our funeral arrangements. We also say, here's how we want things to the place where I can't function or whatever. This is what I want you to do. And I've actually written some of those kind of things down, and I'm going to be writing more in the days ahead. Don't lay that trip on your kids where they've got to deal with all this stuff and they're just clueless and saying, what's going on? At least discuss it. And see, in our family, we have a history of it now. My dad died of a heart attack. My mom had dementia. We have a history here. And so there are some certain things we can see that we may be vulnerable as well, that my brothers and I may be vulnerable for dementia down the road as well. Now, you know, I'm trying to fight against that. I'm trying to eat right and exercise and all those kind of things that you do for a healthy heart. Those are the kind of things you can do to at least defray the effects of dementia anyhow, at least put off a little bit. But, you know, basically having that kind of discussion with our kids is the biggest thing. The other thing is long-term care insurance. And you say, oh, man, I don't have any money for long-term care insurance. Listen, you may not need it, but if you do, it will be worth every penny, because nothing can break your budget faster than a loved one in a nursing home or in a long-term care facility that you don't have the money to pay for. You know, a lot of folks have their entire life savings wiped out. They have their homes taken away. You know, you don't need to let that happen. You can pre-plan a lot of these things, and there are fine Christian counselors that can give you a lot of wisdom along these lines. But I would say take advantage of those resources.
Mm. You know, I'm sure you maybe had a time or two when there was a why question, and maybe your mom went through that as well. Talk a little bit about maybe just sort of making a spiritual life a priority for our parents during this season of life.
Boy, Neil, that to me was one of the most sensitive areas. There were times when I would leave my mom and I would just, honestly, I would just cry out to God. And there were times when I would literally cry and say, God, why? Why not? Why did this happen? But why is she still here? She's a godly woman. She's believed in Jesus all of her life. She's ready to go to heaven at any moment. Why is she still here? And then I began to change my prayer from why is she still here to God, what do you want me to learn from this? And that was a major transition for me. That what do you want me to learn from this, Lord, was a big deal. And I discovered that two things I think were important. Number one, that her faith was real. And number two, that my faith was real, that the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us. It sure felt like that at times, but he didn't. And even as I said, you know, right down to the very last day that my mom was alive, one of those old Bill Gaither videos came on a TV there, and she was almost incoherent, but they began singing the song Sweet, Sweet Spirit. And my mom in her hospital bed there joined right in singing Sweet, Sweet Spirit. And, man, I mean, that was one of the last things I remember my mom ever singing or saying or anything else. Sweet, Sweet Spirit. She was ready to go. And I'm reminded of that. One of her slogans was never better. And in some of the last stages of her dementia, they had to literally amputate a couple of her toes, and that was awful. But no matter what, people would say, Minnie, how are you doing? And she'd say, never better. And I can see my mom in heaven today, Neil. And if somebody would ask her, how are you doing, Minnie? She'd say, never better. Yeah. And, man, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's good. Great encouragement. Ken, thank you for sharing just a little bit out of this this journey that you and your family experienced. And, you know, and it was a wonderful way to honor your mother, even in the midst of her her decline, and many of us, our parents are, you know, heading that same direction. When Your Parent Becomes Your Child is the title of the book, A Journey of Faith Through My Mother's Dementia. Ken, thanks so much for connecting with us today and just telling us the story.
Hey, thank you, Neil. You know, the Bible says that there's a promise there for those of us who will honor our fathers and our mothers, and that promise never goes away. It's for real, and we're counting on that.
Let's listen to a little bit of music here as we wrap up the show. Ken Abraham, best-selling author, and I thought we'd just maybe enjoy a little bit of this old favorite here as we wrap up. Ken, blessings to you. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks so much.
And I know that it's the Spirit of the
today on Connecting Faith. You can check out the podcast online.